Stir It Up. That is the name of our blurb or blog for today. Let's all go to 2 Peter. And we'll start with chapter 1. And this is the first place I want us to look at the word stir up. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm sorry, I think it's 2 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 13. And I'll go ahead and read it. It says, "Yes, I think it fitting, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." I'll just read it again. "Yes, I think it fitting, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." So there we have the words stirring up and putting in remembrance. And if you look at the Strong's Concordance and what it has to say in regards to the Greek word that's being used there for stir or for stir you up, it's number 1326 in the Greek part of the Strong's. And it is defined as to wake fully, to arouse, to arise, to rise up, and to stir up. And this same Greek word is also used in the Gospels, specifically in the Gospel of Luke. And I'm just going to read, this is Luke chapter 8, verse 24, and it's from the Message, which is just a more simple kind of translation of the Bible. And it says, 22 through 24 in Luke chapter 8. "One day, Jesus and his disciples got into a boat. 'Let's cross the lake,' Jesus said, and off they went. It was smooth sailing, and Jesus fell asleep. A terrific storm came up suddenly on the lake. Water poured in, and they were just about to capsize. The disciples stirred up, woke up, rose up," all that, what that Greek word stir up means, "'Jesus,' and said, 'Master, Master, get up, because we are going to drown.' Getting to his feet, arising, being stirred up, Jesus told the wind, 'Silence,' and the waves, 'Quiet down,' and they did. And the lake became as smooth as glass." So that's the same word that was also used in the second epistle of Peter that we just read. There is also the word stir up used in two chapters later in this second epistle from Peter, and that's chapter 3 and verse 1. So let's go to we're still in 2 Peter, but let's go to two chapters down to chapter 3. And I'm just going to read several different translations of this verse, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, so we can hear it in different translations, different ways. Here's the New Living Translation. "This is my second letter to you, dear friends, and in both of them I have tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory." Here's the 21st century King James Version of the same verse. "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both of which I stir up your purity of mind by the way of remembrance, that you might be mindful of the words that were spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles, and the Lord and Savior." I love that one. We'll come back to that one. 2 Peter chapter 3, same verse, verse 1. This is the Darby translation. Darby, who is from Dublin, Ireland. Amen. This is his translation. "This, a second letter, beloved, I already write to you, in both which I stir up in the way of putting you in remembrance your pure mind, to be mindful of the words spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of the Lord and Savior by your apostles." And this is the amplified version of that same verse. "Beloved, I am now writing you this second letter. In this, as in the first one, I am stirring up your untainted mind to remind you that you should remember the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the commandment of our Lord and Savior given to your apostles, his personally chosen representatives." So, So those are the basic ones I just wanted to start with. And I noticed that particularly in Peter, there was stirring up, always seemed to be kind of joined with the word remembrance. And it brought to my heart and my spirit recollection of Christ when he had the last Passover with his disciples. And he broke bread and drank wine. He took, you know, Passover with them before he went to die, to be offered as the lamb, as the sacrifice on that Passover there when he died on the cross and fulfilled every offering and fulfilled every feast and gave himself to the uttermost. When Jesus was about to do that, he brought to his closest friends and his disciples the bread and the wine and told them that the bread and the wine, and we all know this, but we're just reminding ourselves of these things. He said, you know, take this in remembrance of me. This is my broken body. This is my poured out life. Take this, eat this, do this in remembrance of me. And it is a very similar token or expression or exhortation that we're feeling into the person of Peter as he's saying, while I am still here in the flesh, even as Christ did to his disciples before he died, while he was still yet with them in that form before he became in them as life, he said, you know, I want to stir you up. I want to stir something up so deep inside of you that will cause you to take remembrance to, if you will, to eat flesh and drink blood and to partake of the things that you've been taught, which is really the context, if you will, in the first verses that come in 2 Peter chapter 1, 1 through 12. We had a blog on some of them recently, but if you read and you read closely what Peter is saying in that first chapter in 2 Peter, he is talking about adding to your faith until you are so full of the Lamb that you literally are loving your brother, laying your life down for your brother. You are bringing forth Christ crucified in your way, in your body, in your being, in your life, as your life. And so, but that's all coming before verse 13 in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, where it's saying stir up and bring to remembrance these things. So it's really the context of stir up and of remembrance really has nothing to do with a mental exercise of imagining something that you once saw or heard. And I think for most of us, our definition of remembering is based on if you have a good long or short-term memory in the organ called your human brain, based on recollection of events in the past. You know, but you have to ask God. You have to search these things out. You have to be with the Holy Spirit in this. I'm going to give you some of my thoughts, but I'm not going to say that this is the right thing. I'm just going to say these are things I am pondering right now. But I am pondering if when Peter exhorted his flock to be stirred up and to be stirred up by remembrance, if he wasn't doing or releasing a request similar to what Jesus did at the last Passover with his disciples, where he was saying, listen, you guys, when I'm gone, when you're in the crisis, when the things that are pressing you are upon you and drawing your eyes and drawing your ears and drawing your emotions and drawing your thoughts and your responses to all go the way of the flesh, the way of the world, the way of Babylon, the way of all men. Stir up the poured out blood. Stir up the broken bread. Stir up the slain lamb that is in you. And eat and remember and partake. Do this in remembrance. Partake. Bring him up to the surface. Stir him up from your spirit to your soul and from your soul to your body and out your body through your responses. Bring these things that you've been taught to a point where they're stirred up in you as your life and where you're remembering them to such a point that you're partaking of them and they're beginning to fill you just like they were exhorted to eat the lamb before they went to battle, eat the lamb before they crossed over the Red Sea, eat the lamb before they entered the Jordan, eat the lamb, partake, do this, get filled up, let another life overtake your old ways, your old thought patterns, your old tendencies, your old responses, your old knee-jerk reactions. You know, we see that example when we saw the verse in Luke chapter 8 that had the exact same definition of the word stirred up. When the disciples are in the boat and the sea is like glass and everything's peaceful, everybody's happy, nothing seems to be going wrong, and then this huge wave and storm and problem starts attacking the boat and the disciples in it to the point where they feel like the boat's going to capsize and they're going to drown because the water's coming in. And they stir up and they wake up Jesus. Now, there's a lot of different ways that the Holy Spirit can minister Christ to us through those verses. But today, in this angle, in this view, we see that during that crisis, they stirred up the Jesus that was in the boat. And yes, he was sleeping. And in many ways that I have heard that shared, you know, it was a different ministry of the Holy Spirit in regards to the Lord. But just thinking on it today in regards to the verses that we're looking at in 2 Peter, that Jesus was always down there in the boat, even though he was sleeping. And in the crisis, he wasn't really in control of the boat. And the disciples had to stir him up and wake him up and rise him up and get him up so that he could deal with it properly. And I think maybe that's the case in my life. And so maybe the case in many of our lives and at different seasons and different times where it's like, I know Jesus is in me. I know I'm born again. I know Christ is my life. I know I'm a new creation in Christ and Jesus is in me. He's real and he's really there. But the storm, it feels like he's asleep. It feels like he's down so deep in me, in this boat called Kelly, in this body, in this boat, in this vessel, on the sea of destruction and crisis and wind and storm, that I don't even feel him down there. He feels like he's asleep and he's way deep, and I can't even find Jesus to bring him to the surface. And I can't make it through this storm unless Jesus is in control of this ship. And I need to wake him up, and I need to stir him up, and I need to get him up from the bottom of the boat to the captain's seat of the boat. I need him to be in command. I need him to be in control. I need him to be the one who is ordering my life and filling me with life and being the one who is living through this. And there's a stirring up of Jesus that needs to happen. And when he's sleeping and when he's buried way down deep inside, where we've allowed our soul and our circumstances and our fears and just the world and the dirtiness of the world, just the world system or the things of our life that overwhelm us, overcome Christ in us, press us down. Maybe it's old identities, ways of thinking about ourselves where we're really not seeing ourselves by who we are in Christ, the new creation he's made us, the butterfly that transformed one with him, Jesus, in his image, filling us with life, you know, that real you and me, the who we really are. Maybe that identity has just been pressed down by the enemy, lying to us, shaming us, causing us to try to identify with reactions that keep coming out of us in the crisis. And Jesus, the one that we love, the one that we really do identify with and believe that's who we really are, that he's really, you know, he just keeps getting pushed down every time we fail, every time the enemy tries to, you know, press our face in the mud of that failure. Every time the circumstance tries to push us further from him and prove that we don't belong to Jesus because our reaction was so vile, you know, that we want to just let Jesus go further down and just go deeper into despair or deeper into fear or deeper into darkness or deeper into just passivity, deeper into just spiritual slumber. Because we're overwhelmed, because we can't deal, because we don't know how to deal. It's too much. And that's where it's time to take communion. It's time to stir up the lamb that's deep inside. It's time to find him and start breaking bread and drinking wine and filling up on the life that is who we really are. We are not our bad attitudes. We are one with Jesus. We are crucified. Those bad attitudes, they are dead and buried with Christ. The old man removed and put away. And we are one with Christ, and He is the one, and He is our life, and He is who we are. No matter how we respond in the storm, no matter how overwhelmed we've been, no matter how long we've been overwhelmed, no matter how many bad attitudes have come out of us in that crisis, no matter how dead that's made us feel, because it's been so long since we've really stirred up the Jesus that is truly deep down in there as our life. But Peter said, listen, while I'm still here in my body and tabernacling in this flesh, I want to exhort you to stir up by remembrance the things we've talked about. What have we talked about? We've talked about the Lamb of God offering Himself through us. We've talked about the nature of God loving others unto death through us. We've talked about this Jesus having a body, and that you're that body, a priesthood that offers Him, a bride that lets Him shine, a temple that lets Him live. We've talked about it. We talked about being living stones in a kingdom of priests in my first epistle, Peter could say. But I want to stir you up by remembrance to let these things have expression. Let Jesus live. Yeah, it might be really tough once I leave, because the persecution that first century church endured was unbelievable. It was incredible, the things that they suffered. But they suffered with Him, and they found Him as their life. But they had to stir up. They had to take communion. They had to get that Jesus from the bottom of the boat to the captain's seat, where He's going to lay His life down through them in the middle of that storm. He's going to go the way of the cross that only He will go. And He'll do it in the right spirit, and He'll do it by nature, and it will be easy for Him. That burden will be so light for Him, whereas it is impossible for us. And that's why we cry out in fear and terror. We have to wake Him up. We have to wake Him up. We have to. Jesus knew that too, and so one of His last words was, do this in remembrance. Bring these parts of me, my broken body, my poured out life, bring them up to the surface and let me fill you. Let me possess you, your inward parts with my nature. Let me carry you through to the other side. Let me be your fullness. But He can't just do that in a way that we have no part in. You know, we have to partake. We have to, as a bride, take communion, stir up. You know, He doesn't want us to be a kingdom of robots and vassals who just have to do whatever He says. He wants a bride. He wants a family. He wants that family spirit and that love motivation. And so it's our place at times to begin to stir, to begin to wake up Jesus, to begin to sit at the table with Him, sit at His feet, you know, just be with Him, just to start the process of waking Him up. It doesn't happen in a moment. It doesn't happen in a year. But it happens moment by moment and heartbeat by heartbeat, if you will. Just starting to wake Him up again. Let the things that were dead begin to come back to life. Let the things that were buried begin to resurface and be fresh and new and living. That living Christ that just takes your breath away and fills you with His breath. You know, the living Jesus, the one you're in love with, the one who always, always gives you the strength to do what you could never do, is Jesus. It takes that stirring. It takes that time of communion. It just takes that intimacy. And so I just think that in these verses we can see Peter's, his burden and his desire for the people that he leaves behind, the flock that God's entrusted to him, to be with the Lord. And you can see that here in chapter 1 of 2 Peter. I just looked down, but it says in verse 14, 14 and 15, the two verses following what we just shared in verse 13. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. And this is verse 15. Moreover, I will endure that ye may be able after my decease to always have these things in remembrance. To always have these things, to always have Christ in a real way. And that remembrance of him that brings us into fellowship and oneness. And it brings us to the place where we can overcome by the Lamb. By the Lamb. Isn't that awesome? And just finally, because it's a blurb and not a blog, and I always go too long anyway. But, you know, it's so cool because when Jesus had the last Passover with his disciples and he said, do this in remembrance of me. So cool because he didn't go, let's talk about the good old days when we walked the shores of Galilee and we, you know, we saw God multiply the fishes and the loaves. It was so cool how he raised the dead. And did you remember that leper? What about those great days where we just talked all night long about the word of God? Remember the parables? Wasn't that awesome when we talked about the parables? And what about when Peter's mom got healed and raised from the dead? And remember that centurion? Wow, that was so cool how he didn't say, let's go over all of our wonderful memories. He said, do this. Remember this. Remember the spirit in which I'm going to pour out my life, because that's going to be in you. Remember my broken body, because that lamb nature is going to be in you. Remember those things and stir up those elements in you. Don't stir up your soul with exciting and, memories. What are the personal memories or whatever? Stir up the broken bread. Stir up the poured out wine. Stir up who I am that is now going to be in you. Don't stir up what we did together. When I was in Bible school, we had a wonderful experience on that outreach. Remember that mission trip? Remember that class? Jesus goes, I don't care if you don't remember one event you experienced in Bible school, or in your pastorate, or in your mission work, or in your ministry. Don't care if you forget everything. Forget all of it. But remember the broken bread and the poured out wine. Remember who I am. And remember that I'm in you. And stir me up in you as your life, especially in the crisis. Forget everything. But remember the Lamb and who I am. Remember who I am in you. Remember the nature of the life I have given you. And stir me up so I can live through you in your storms. So I can live through you in your green pastures. Stir me up so I can be your life. Because you belong to me and I belong to you. And we are one now. And the we that is one is in all the memories. The we that will be one world without end is a lamb and his wife, a lamb that was slain, and a wife who bears his image. And if we can remember that, we shall overcome to the uttermost by the slain lamb who gives his life through us time and again. What can come against that? Nothing. Bad memories? No. Failures? No. Jesus being buried right now? No. He's in there. It's just time to stir him up. Remember who we really are. Remember who you really are. You're the body, the flesh, the bone of the crucified Christ. You are not your failures. You are not your bad feelings. You are not your dullness. You are not your slumbering soul. You are not your irritated attitudes. You're the flesh and bone of the crucified, slaughtered Lamb. You're one with the risen Son. You belong to Jesus. You've been bought with a price. God calls you, accepted in the Beloved. He calls you one with Jesus. That's who you are. Remember that and remember who that is in you and stir him up. The rest, history, taken care of by the cross. All that matters now is this one thing, that Jesus Christ, the slain lamb, broken bread and poured out wine is in you. And you, all you have to do is stir him up and he'll be right back there on the surface where he was meant to be all along. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for loving us into oneness, loving us into oneness through dying on that cross, where you put away every identity, you put away all that would be the enemies of us being one. You overcame through death every enemy. You overcame through your death everything that would separate and divide us from you. You didn't just overcome storms and demons. You overcame everything in us that would make us someone else than the body of Jesus, the bride of the Lamb. Now we're yours, Jesus. Now you are in us as our life. Now it's all about you. No matter how we feel or how we've failed, no matter how deep you're buried or how long we've been asleep, Jesus, you are our life. And so we stir up that reality by our faith. We stir it up by taking communion. We stir you up to rise again to the surface and live through us, Jesus. You're the answer and you're our identity. We stir you up through remembrance. And in this kind of remembrance, we take communion and we allow you to have your way as our life once again. Bless each one, Lord, and we just thank you for your word, for your heart, and for your glorious reality. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
What struck me was that the scripture that he decided to share was that, and that he knows that we are all in that boat and we're all having those storms, and that's the scripture he shared with us. And that it's real, and that it was to the other side, which is like, to me, is like a portal. It's like that, what John saw in Revelation, and that the sea, that the storm, the sea, when he stood up on his feet, and the sea became still as glass, which is in Revelation. And it's like glass.
Wow.
And it's like, and I remember Ben sharing ages ago, like, if you're going to the other side, it requires Jesus. You know, there's a whole load of junk going on over there that's just, a whole load of junk. And it just requires Jesus. And it's the Lamb. Like, it's the Lamb in the Revelation. It's the Lamb that he's sharing us. It's the Lamb that we think we cannot attain to. It's the Lamb that is in us. Do you know what I mean? And that's what's on offer. That's what's on the table, you know, in the boat. That's what I find intriguing, and I can't ignore that. That's all really at the moment.
Well, praise God. Amen to that. Thank you, Jesus.
That was awesome, Path. Thank you. And I do, I agree. I may finally be able to talk because, boy, the Holy Spirit really spoke deeply to me in that whole thing. I think it was very timely. It was a word in due season, and I would bet it's for all of us. I know it sure was for me to stir that up, boy, and I'm gonna stir him up. I'm not gonna let him keep sleeping in there. Thank you. That was wonderful. And Faf, I love the way you shared that too about in the boat. So everybody, just let's stir Jesus up and let him live and not push him down anymore. I'm so grateful for him. Thank you.
I love what Geraldine wrote there beside it. It says, let us not miss this. Say that Jesus will fix it. If we rest, no, it's our time to stir up in remembrance this Lamb of love and to sow him into the moment. And I thought, wow, that's so apropos to exactly what you're talking about, Kelly, that, you know, it's not about the things on the outside, but it's those things on the inside for the moment, and be able to then turn around and pour him out to other people, because we become that broken bread and poured out wine to others, just like we pour the glory out, the love out, and all those other things. So I thought that was very good too. Thank you.
I thought it was really good when you were saying that. I don't know what you said, but I sort of, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. I was like, I take Holy Communion, you know, you know, in a rigid church religious environment, and the Lord is saying, you know, don't let that get you. You stir up. When you said stir up, it just really spoke to me that
Abigail.
Christ is in us, and we need to stir him up, and we need to commune and partake of the same lamb. And it is a celebration. He wants us to enjoy this feast for the purpose of, as Judy was saying, that we may pour out those things to others. You know, we're supposed to be poured out. We are his hands, we are his feet. And if we're stirred up, if we allow the enemy to interfere, and then we don't stir up, then we become stagnant. But if we stir up, or he desires that we would be called to stir ourselves up in him, using the Holy Spirit to bring us to that place of communion with his heart. And it's really going to help me now when I take communion from now on. Not to be look around and see the religion, but to see that he's in me and I can stir him up and fellowship and feast on the slain lamb. And he said, I'm not stale. I'm not like that piece of bread that you might be taking up as a symbol. Don't fix your eyes on what... I'm not stale. I am living. I'm living. I'm not that. I'm not what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this makes sense, but he's just like saying, I'm not stale. I am living. I want you to fellowship. I want you to partake. I want you to feast. And when we think the word feast, I'm just thinking in my head, like, feast to feast on something like really, really love. Like, you know, big cake or something. Not like a little plastic piece of wafer or a piece of bread or, you know what I mean? And it's just like, he just wanted me to see it from a different perspective, that, you know, we need to feast on the slain lamb. This is a feast. This isn't like, oh, a little piece of bread.
I think everybody was, our hearts are stirred, and specifically I believe the Lord, you know, he's, how his nature is, you know, the lamb, and so he isn't gonna, he won't press anything, you know, he'll just stay there, he'll stay and be quiet and in the boat, you know, sleep and be still and not push his way. But I believe with the sharing that his heart has been blessed now that we are stirred and he can be stirred up in his body and brought up to the surface. And so I think the Lord is really, his heart is deeply blessed. And that's the goal. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
In 2 Timothy, it says almost the same thing. Paul's telling Timothy to stir up the gifts of God that is in him. I'll just read a couple of the scriptures really quick. Hold on here. Let me find it again. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And he just goes on. I mean, the whole thing. He tells us, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard from me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwelleth in thee.
Mm.
And he just kind of goes on and on and telling Timothy to hold fast and to stir up. And I really, really need that. Because it's like, Jesus is there in his fullness, and if you're not partaking of it, I don't know, it's just kind of silly because it's there. And I appreciated what you said about the boat, too, because it's like, man, we always kind of dog on the disciples for, you know, like calling up Jesus. But it's like when the crisis comes, what do we teach? We teach you need Jesus. We teach you can't do it. You need Jesus. And so I just really appreciated the light that you put on that, because it's like, man, when I get into that place of a crisis or whatever, I mean, maybe it's not for deliverance, but for him to live. And that is a form of deliverance, because you're living above the waters now and you're not being swallowed by them.
Amen.
And so I just appreciated that. And if any, you know, those verses in 2 Timothy also just go right along with what you were saying there, Kelly. It's probably the same Greek word there. I have a feeling. But anyway, so it's just, you know, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God that is in thee. It's so precious. So anyway, thank you.
Sometimes we're in a situation and we choose to go with our flesh and say, well, I'm not able to. And I think we're also tricked that if we go with the Lord and stir him up and, you know, he comes out by life and suddenly there's, I think the evil one on our own mind will trick us and say, look, you're just going to be more exhausted after this. Mm-hmm. And that's a lie, because what happens is, and you can identify right here now, Kelly, that as the Lord, as you stir up your most holy faith and go with what Jesus wants to do in you at that moment, more life comes out of you and more life fills you. You don't go back to that place. You don't come back more exhausted. Mm-hmm. And I just think Raphael really hit on it. It's a portal. Like, it's a place into a new realm that he's bringing us into. As he brings these waves over us and we have to stir up our most holy faith, it's not like another death and I'm going to die and somehow Christ is going to... No! We're going to be alive in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that portal and that lie that we're going to feel tired after this, why bother, is a lie. And to just say, this is a portal, I'm going to see into Revelation. I'm going to see that sea. This is going to become the sea at last where he lives.
Well, I'm just seeing, you know, that river flowing under the threshold, and it brings healing and life, and it does need to flow. It can't just be stopped up. And so, I just wanted to add that to it, just to what everybody else has said. It can't be stagnant. I think Steve said stale, you know, if it's stale, he's alive, he's living right now and 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 right now. And that's just a fact. And life lives, and that river flows, or else it's not doing a whole heck of a lot. So I just wanted to add that image to what all has been shared. And just to confirm what Geraldine said, you don't feel more tired. No, that's not what the effect that river has. The effect that the river has is it brings healing to the nations. It's, a river has got to have a place to flow. So thank you. It's been really, really wonderful. And I just concur with, you know, Mary, just knowing that we all needed to hear this, to stir up Jesus. To, as it used to be said, take out our little flask of anointing oil and anoint King Jesus, no matter how little, no, just anoint him. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. That's it.
Sharon, just when you were saying that, I was just thinking, I was making a sauce yesterday, like a roux, and I was thinking, having a nice plate of lamb. It's going back to what I was talking about, that feast, and what a feast. Like, we're moving away from stale bread here. And you can imagine a nice lamb chopped. You want a feast on the Lord. He wants us to fellowship in a feast. And like, it was like this picture he gave me. He said, I was making a sauce. And you need ingredients. But if you don't stir, it goes lumpy. And if you don't stir vigorously, it's not smooth and appetizing. And it will marinate. And it will, anything that comes to touch with that sauce will be marinated, will be broken down, will be softened. And it will add to the lamb. Now, not that lamb needs to be added to, but it's his, the Holy Spirit, it's the water of life, it's him. All we have to do is stir it. We are the flower. He is the life. He's the water of life. He is the Holy Spirit. His life. All he wants us to do is to stir vigorously. When I say vigorously, I mean that's just to put to make sauce. So it doesn't burn, but it just, what I'm trying to say is that he wants to feast on the Lamb, to slay the Lamb. Let's stir up this beautiful sauce. The Holy Spirit wants to stir up a beautiful sauce, to marinate, and to bless others with this feast that's coming out of his body, his breath.
Let me add something just real quick, if you don't mind. When Sharon was talking about the water, I instantly got a picture of what happens with living water, right? What happens with the Dead Sea? There's nothing that can survive in the Dead Sea, but Jesus is living water. And so because that water's always moving and it doesn't stop, it is an automatic stirring that goes on in us. But it's the making sure that you're after that stirring, that you're after that. Like Steve said, I love that, Steve. That was a beautiful analogy. And I put that with that living water, and I could just see it gushing forth from us to produce this great morsel of what Steve was talking about. And what happens is when people taste that sauce then, because it's so living and so alive, they get a taste of Jesus every time we are Him to them. Anyway, that's what made me think of. Thank you.
Well, dear Lord, Father, we, Holy Spirit, thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts for visiting us today and for helping us to encourage one another and stirring up our hearts and awakening us, Lord, because we do tend to fall asleep. We do get numb, Lord. We get affected by the world around us and things that, you know, in our flesh and all of it, Lord. But, Lord, you're so faithful. Holy Spirit, you're so faithful. And the word thank you doesn't seem to really be enough. But, Lord, you know, our hearts rejoice in hearing from you and knowing that you are so, you're just so ready to be stirred and moved. But you wait, Lord, you know, you wait for us to come. And you're so kind and gentle in your nature. Oh, Lord, we come to you today. We will stir you up. We're going to stir up our hearts so that you can be known, Lord, that you can come forth and be the living water in every circumstance that we walk through, Lord, and in the thoughts, you know, that our hearts, yes, that our hearts would be stirred up, but too, Lord, that our minds would be renewed by Christ. And, Father, that your mind would be in us. And, Jesus, we come, we want to anoint you, you know. We hear all of this about the anointing, this one anointing that, but Lord, you are the anointed and you are in us, Lord. You are in us. You're dwelling in our very spirit. So Lord, we want to anoint you today as Mary of Bethany. We come to your feet and we look unto you, Lord, and we pour our tears and our care at your feet, Lord, for your heart, and want to remember that it's your time. It is your time now, Lord. We've made it about us. But we don't want to keep doing that, Lord. Holy Spirit, help us to continue to see the Mary of Bethany heart, that ministry that counts to you, Lord, that remembering you, Lord, remembering you, stirring up and remembering you, Lord. And that's all that matters, Lord. So, Father, just have your way, Lord. And I ask you this week in each one of us, Lord, that you would continue this, that you'd, Holy Spirit, you'd be over the top. You'd bring this to remembrance over and over again as we drift off into our daily duties and all the things that come up. Would you bring us back, Holy Spirit? We desperately need you to bring us back to remembrance of Jesus, to anoint him, his feet, with our tears and love, and to stir up that most holy faith that's in us, that he can come up and be in every circumstance and be alive and be active and moving, Lord. In us, and we just lay all this at your feet, Lord. We give you all the glory, Father and Holy Spirit. We love you and thank you for showing us Jesus and stirring our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.